Hey, and welcome to Journey Church Eva. Our mission here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Christ so you can make a difference in your world. We would love to hear from you. Check out the show notes for a link to send us an email and a link if you want to give. There's also a link for prayer requests. We have a prayer team that will touch God on your behalf, so send us those prayer requests and let's all watch God move in your life together. You will also find the like, comment, and the subscribe buttons below. Go ahead, hit all three of them. But most importantly, we want you to hit the share button and let's send this message to those of your friends and family that may need some encouragement today. Now, here's today's message. We hope it blesses you, challenges you, and helps you grow stronger in your walk with Jesus.
Let's get into part three. Father, we thank you for your word today. It's going to be fun, kind of funny maybe, who knows? But Lord, it is such a joy to serve you. It is such pleasure and joy and happiness to be a child of God. I mean, nothing could top knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that the goodness of your life is flowing to us and through us, and we want to just give it away in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to show a quick slide. I've seen this past week. If they could go ahead and put up the pic slide that we have. I love this. The world is changed by your example, but not by your opinion. And we can have opinions and say about what needs to be done all day long, but when you actually step up and you do it, how many know that's making a difference? I mean, no, that's somebody that's giving of themselves. That could be the person's wife, could be a grandmother, could be aunt, could be a total stranger. Doesn't matter. What matters is somebody took the time to give of themselves to cover someone else. So you got rained on a little bit. You ain't going to melt. Amen? Amen. So I thought, you know, closing this series out, that's just kind of a suiting thing there. And so I want to do, you want to take it down now. I want to do something right out of the gate on this last one. And I feel like I have to do this because of the word in the book of Acts. I believe it's around chapter 20. He says, I have not hesitated to preach to you the whole counsel of the word of God. So many times we want to hear partial counsels of the word of God. Amen? We don't want to hear everything that's in the Bible. But as a Christian, in my opinion, if you're a born-again Christian today or whether you're listening, you ought to be excited about anything that's in the word of God. And so I'm going to take just a short time here, first part of this message today, and I want to talk on tithing. You see how quiet that got? Now, if I'd have said, I'm going to preach to you how to be blessed, filled with the Holy Ghost, have overcoming power, COVID won't come nigh to your house, in the name of Jesus, you're going to learn that from the Word of God today. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I'm going to preach to you now the same Word of God that says that. I'm going to preach to you about tithing. Cricket. Crickets. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp. Chirp. I don't understand that. Do y'all know tithing's in the Bible? It's so important that God put it in the Holy Scriptures. Multiple places, Old and New Testament. And again, you know me, and most of you have been here for a while, and why am I preaching on tithing? I've only done it two complete services here. I did it the first or second year I came here, which was about 18 years ago. And then I think it was last year, I did one whole message on all about tithing. I've preached on twice in 18 years. Now, I've mentioned it from time to time, but not in depth, and I don't want to go in depth today. But I realized about a year or two ago when I was doing some premarital counseling with a young couple, and I asked them about their finances, and we go over finances, and I asked them, I say, well, do you guys tithe? Oh, yeah, we tithe. And I almost just said, okay, good, let's go on it. But something prompted me, said, well, let me ask you something. What do you understand about tithing? What is your take on tithing? They said, well, that's the portion of the service when we take up money for God's house, and, you know, I said, we get in our wallet, and, you know, if we have a 20 or a 10 or a 5 or something, we try to throw a little something in. And I said, and I seen they were serious, and I said, is that what you think tithing is? Yeah, it's just giving God some money. And I realized I've not done a good enough job, because there was people that went to our church. And that's what, they really thought tithing was, you just get to give whatever you want to. It's kind of whatever you got on you. And so I began to break it down. I said, I, first of all, I apologize to you because you guys have been here. They ain't been here real long, but should have been long enough. I said, I haven't, and I purposely stay away from preaching on tithing because of Oh, the church wants my money. You know, good grief, I get so sick of that. It's in the Bible. It must be preached. Amen? And so when I began to share with them what the tithe was, I mean, it was like the light coming on. And I'm like, I've really done a disservice to this church by not telling you what the tithe is where you can be blessed. And so that after that, I did the message on tithing. And you know what happened after I did the message on tithing? Tithes and offerings went up. They did. They really did, because people was like, wow. Yeah, I was, and there was so many people, not a whole lot, but there was a few people, other people in here that thought the tithe was just whatever you wanted to give. And so this morning, I'm not going to take it. If you go back years ago, and I think it's still online somewhere, the first one talked about how tithing comes through the order of Melchizedek of the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament. Okay, and then this past year, I preached another different little bit of angle on tithing. But this year, again, it's not a tithing message. This is a giving of myself, but you cannot give of yourself if you're a Christian and not tithe. I mean, just say it like that. It is a Christian's, not a choice. It is their duty and honor to tithe. And so people often say, well, you know, the tithe, let me just say it like this. Let me just give you the quickest definition of the tithe I know. Tithe, the word tithe literally means 10. And tithe means you give 1/10 of what you get. Everybody, so tithing is 10%. Everybody say 10%. That's what it is. It's just 10%. So if I get 10 of anything, there it is, tithing equals 10%. So if I get 10 pennies, one of them belongs to God, one of the 10. If I get 20, two belongs to the 10. If I get 30, three belongs to the Lord, amen? It's just a real simple, I love the way God done it. It's not this, that, it's just 10%. Everybody say the tithe is 10%. Now, anytime, it's going to be in the notes. Everybody say anytime. Anytime any money comes into your possession. Anybody, and how many know that everyone in here, some type of money comes into your possession or into your sphere of influence? When you get that money, the tithe is already in there. It ain't like you're going to get paid or you're going to come into money without a tithe already being established inside of what you get. People often say, well, where's the tithe at? I don't understand about tithing. Where's the tithe at? And I'm like, I did a message a few weeks ago called It's There. Y'all remember that? You know, there's power. Where's the power of God? Power of God, it's there already. Where's the time for me to do something? Your time is already there. It's just how you use it. Well, the tithe is already there, but it depends on how you use it. How many of you has received some type of finances within the past month? Raise your hand if you've received anything from anybody, any place. Did you know there was a tithe in that? Already built in, 10% of that was already been dedicated to the Lord as far as the Lord concerns. Are you with me? Okay. So anytime, everybody say, anytime I get money. And I know what some people say, well, I don't work anymore. I'm retired. Anytime, it didn't say anytime you've worked and got a paycheck. It said 10% of all, your time, your talent, your resources. But I'm sticking with the money portion today, check, because anytime I work and I get, whether I get paid weekly or every other week or once a month or once a quarter, the tithe is in there. If I get a bonus at work, tithe is in there. If I get at the end of the year Christmas bonus, there's a tithe in that. If I draw a retirement check from anywhere, when I get that retirement check in the mail, guess what's in there? There's a tithe built in there, 10% to the Lord. Are y'all with me this morning? If I was to get unemployment, a lot of people got unemployed during this time and times are hard, but guess what? When you get an unemployment check, guess what's in that unemployment check? There's a tithe in there. Oh, I'm getting personal now, ain't I? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Everybody turned to you there and say, oh, yeah. Can I give you a big one that a lot of people like to just kind of like ignore the tithe on? Y'all ready? Y'all sure you're ready? Because this is going to deal with you maybe in the past if you've lived long enough. If somebody passes away and you get an inheritance, there's a tithe there. Oh, Uncle Sammy left us $100,000. Woohoo! There's a $10,000 tithe built in. I ain't giving $10,000. I'm not giving $10,000. If it's in there on your weekly check, it's in there on your monthly check. If it's there on your monthly check, it's there if an inheritance hits. But I can guarantee you there's been inheritance that's never been tithed on. Did it get quiet in this place or what? So what's the problem with the tithe? Because it's there. But how many know we got a bad problem? Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really preaching a lot at this church. You guys are awesome tithers. You really are. I still get blown away sometimes. But I have to preach this because there are people that don't know. So if you know this, just go ahead and bear with me and say, and amen, and help me preach it just a little bit this morning, if that's okay. See, the problem is not that the tithe's not there. The problem is when we take God's tithe and we spend it on ourselves or our stuff. Are you with me? Let me give you some examples of the way some people, y'all are the ones I'm talking about, it's not you, but some people today are getting in their vehicle and they're driving God's tithe. Y'all understand that? See, the reason I got this vehicle is because I don't tithe, and I take that tithe money and it helps me make my car payment. I'm driving God's tithe. Beep, beep, hey, man, like your car. Praise the Lord, it's the Lord's. I mean, it's really the Lord's, because I use the tithe money instead of tithing where I could drive this. Some people live in God's tithe, in your house or your apartment, trailer, whatever you live in. I live here because I'm using God's tithe where I can live here. Some of us may be wearing God's tithe every day. I got to buy some clothes, man. I got to have some new shoes, a new do. So I use God's tithe where I can be hip. Oh, I just needed a break, so I got to use God's tithe to go take me a vacation. It's just really quiet in here. Now, we're talking about somebody. We're not talking about you. So you ought to be a little bit more involved in this message, because I'm not talking about you, right? But though some people will vacation on God's money, tithe money. Some people, maybe more than we go out to eat on God's tithe. That's the way we get to go out to eat with our friends and stuff, and because we got a tithe money we don't give, so we go out and be social. Hallelujah. Some people, our hobbies, we get to enjoy our hobbies because God's tithe we're using to go and do our hobbies and funsies. And some people take the tithe and have shopping sprees for themselves. Some people just, everybody say it, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you take the tithe and use, that's your it. And let me just say it like this. Whatever it is, you can't afford it if it keeps you from being faithful with God's stuff. I'm not saying don't have a car, but maybe I'm saying have a car that you can finance in without God's tithe. I'm saying live in a place that doesn't require the tithe of the house of God to have you a house. I'm saying don't wear clothes that takes God's tithe for you to be clothed with. I'm saying if you'll trust God with the tithe, I think you'll drive better, live better, look better, eat better. But you got to trust God in order to tithe to a God. Especially when you get an inheritance, dear God. Amen? Some people have the coffee tithe every morning. And that's almost money well spent for some of you probably, okay? But I'm just kidding. I mean, it can be as ridiculous as that. See, if I have habits that take up my whole blessing that God's given me and I don't give anything back to God, I'm not really blessed. I've actually put myself in a curse. Because this is where we get the scripture out of Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It asks the question, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Question mark, yet you have robbed me. He's speaking to people here. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. In other words, when you're spending the tithe on something besides bringing it to me, you're robbing me, he says. What we call God robbers. And we don't feel like we're robbing God because we're still spending it. We ain't saving it. But we're spending it somewhere else. I'm going to spend. And look what he also says there. And I don't have real time to get into this, but I'm just going to touch on this. Tithes and offerings. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never met a biblical tither that at some point, maybe not every time, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on, maybe not every single time something to ask for, but true tithers will have an offering to give as the Lord lays upon their heart. But here's a sneaky, what a lot of some people, churchy people, want to sneak do. I won't use God's tithe faithfully, paycheck to paycheck, week to week, however you get paid. But every once in a while, just to make myself feel good about myself, I'll give to something. A 5 or a 10 or maybe even 100 or so. And God has to bless that. God does not bless the offering until you qualify it with the tithe. Let me say that again. God cannot bless your offering until you first have qualified as a tither. So when you tithe, then you give offerings above and beyond the tithe, that's when you really fall into a multiplication of blessing from the Lord. Because he sees you faithful with what's already supposed to be his, and then you actually give something above and beyond, now he can give you, walk you into some supernatural results. And it doesn't always mean you get money back. It could be health, it could be relationships, it could be favor. It doesn't have to be money. Amen? Amen. All right, so that's all I want to say about that. Okay? Just don't be a God robber. Be faithful, and if you got questions about it, come see me. But I want to pick up now. Everybody okay? I want to get the rough stuff out of the way first. But I mean, tithing is of the Lord. And we're going to talk about it, not in detail, but we're going to talk about now just giving of yourself. I talked to you in the first week about being rich. And that's what some people say. Oh, I can't tithe. I'm not rich like other people. And again, their check has a tithe. Your check has a tithe. Everybody's got the tithe. It's all equal. It's 10%. The rich person's not giving any more than you. Amen? They're not. I actually know rich people who don't tithe because they've spent all God's money, too, on their riches. On the biggest house around, got to have more cars than the neighbor, got to wear the biggest diamond. And so there are people who are required to give 10% that are filthy rich but do not tithe because they have the tithe tied up in their self. All right? So everybody can tithe. Good preaching, amen. Well, if I was rich, I would tithe, and I'll be honest with you, I highly doubt it. Because, and I'm going to get ahead of my note here, I'm going to bring this back up again, tithing is not necessarily a multiplication factor of what I can multiply, and it's not a wealth factor, it's a heart factor. Tithing has nothing to do with finances, it has everything to do with your heart. So if you don't have a heart to tithe when you ain't got hardly anything, when you get everything, you ain't going to have a heart to tithe there either because it's a heart issue. Amen? Like I said, some of the richest people I know don't tithe. They can't afford to tithe, they say. I'd say like this, I can't afford not to. So let's define rich. And now we talked about the first week, if you can smile, you're rich. If you have joy, you're rich. So a lot of things a lot of rich people have. But I want to share with you real quickly about three countries. The absolute lowest federal minimum wage is found in the country, small country of Sierra Leone, where the workers can expect a whopping 3 cents per hour. The equivalent, when we're talking about what's the equivalent to American money, 3 cents per hour. Per hour. But now you're saying, well, that's just a little dot, and they don't have industry, they don't have da-da-da-da-da. Okay, India, everybody say India. You're familiar with India because a lot of your stuff says made in India. The lowest among the larger economies, they have economy, they have corporations, they have factories. Their average hourly wage is 28 cents an hour. A whopping 28 cents an hour. You go to India, you're the average worker, you're going to make 28 cents per hour. Cuba, right down yonder. Now, the aggregated gross national income per capita of Cuba is officially, everybody say officially, $5,539 a year. That's what they put out, that they give their people. They put that out. And when I read this, I knew it was true because I've been to Cuba. Several years ago, I was in Cuba ministering and talked to them, and they said, I said, what's the average income? And they said it, and then, I read it here in the latest statistics. But the take-home salary, now the government will tell you we pay our people over $5,000 a year. They're okay. Well, they make their own books. They say they give them that, but you know what they actually get in their pocket because of the taxes, and you got to fund this, and you got to fund this. So they send them. But the take-home salary for most Cubans is around $20 a month, equal to $240 per year. And that's exactly what they told me when I was there several years ago. They said, we make an equivalent of what would be a $20 in America per month. And you know what's so funny about that? They tithe on it. $2 of that goes to their church, goes to the Lord. Now, they also get 5 eggs per person in the household a month. Get an egg a week. You also get, under that fantastic system that's wanting to come to America, you also get 5 pounds of flour per month, 1/2 pound of sugar per month, and a small bag of oats and stuff like that per month. And they asked us, they said, pastors, there's a couple of us pastors, they said, we're in a dilemma because we want to obey the law of God, which tells us to obey the law of the land that we're living in. But one of the things in Cuba, and we were there the week that Fidel Castro was supposed to be signing over power to Raul, his brother, and all these freedoms were coming to Cuba. Do y'all remember hearing about that? Oh, Cuba is getting released to do some great things, and freedom is coming to these people. And he said, here's the biggest things they've done. We can now go into the tourist cities and stay in a hotel. We were banned from those before. But now we can go stay at a resort and a hotel. Hallelujah! But, you know, you can't afford a hotel or resort on $20 a month. He said, so that's null and void. We now in Cuba can have a home computer in our homes. They can't afford a computer. So there was a lot of stuff that looked like Cuba's getting all this freedom. But they couldn't get none of it because they couldn't afford it. Their pay didn't go up. So it was really a farce. And do you know in Cuba, and even to this day as my understanding is, Cubans are not allowed to eat beef. It's against the law for a Cuban to eat any part of a cow. Not religious. All the cattle go to the restaurants of the Castros in the tourist areas where they can make money. And dude, look here, I'm talking to people my age never had a hamburger, never had a steak. And we're traveling on the interiors of Cuba going into these villages, and man, they have beautiful herds of cows. And I went a whole week without eating beef. I sacrificed. I ain't kidding, man. Look here, I didn't realize how much I miss meat. I am a carnivore. I'm a meat eater. And I mean, on about the fourth day, man, we were traveling, I said, pull the bus over. They said, what? I said, I'm going to go out there and gnaw on that cow's ear. I'm hungry. I just go out there and gnaw on his ear or something, man. Never had beef, against the law to eat beef. And we talk about how we can't do something. Guys, we are so enormously blessed and highly favored among all the earth to be born in a free nation where we've got the freedom, even on welfare, even on that, you are still rich beyond compare. If you have a cell phone inside your pocket, you are richer than 2/3 of the whole earth does not have a cell phone. We think everybody does. It's just everybody has one. No, they don't. They don't even have the infrastructure for one. It's amazing. So there's rich. But what's so funny, when you go into countries, and I've been to Mexico, and I've been to Cuba, and I've been to Africa and Guatemala, and these are some of the most serving people you will ever meet in your life. And they serve with gladness and they serve with a joy where you got to pull teeth sometimes in America to get people to do anything, even in the church. Guys, we've got a selfish pride problem. I'll be honest with you, we do. We look to be served instead of serving. And I'll quote John Franklin Kennedy, man. One of the greatest lines I ever heard. He said, don't ask what your country can do for you. What can you do for your country? How many remember that? Now listen to me now, he's a Democrat. But what are we turned it into now? We are training people. Get your country to do everything for you. Your country should do everything for you. That's how you become a slave. If you've been here long enough, you've heard me preach this years ago. There's a day coming you're going to either put your trust in God or you'll put your trust in government. Because one of them is going to be feeding you. And that's still holding true, and it's coming true. Amen. As much as I hate to say it, it is. Everybody say, let's move along. But turn to your neighbor and say, I'm rich. Come on, everybody can turn in here and say, I'm rich, because you are. It's all in perspective of what you know. If you get outside your little world and understand what's going on in other places, you'll understand you are blessed, you are rich, you are highly favored among, like I say, the whole earth and God's people. Let me ask you a question. Simple question. How many of you would say today, I want to please God? Hallelujah. And most Christians, be honest with you, when asked that question, yeah, I'm a Christian. I want to please God. I want you to look and find, I found a scripture for you. You can just write down in your heart and write it in your car and just travel with it. It's found out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And it says this, but do not forget to, everybody say this word with me, do, come on, say it with me, don't forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is what? Well pleased. Should have been a shout right there. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what I'm fixing to preach on, because there's a necessity in Journey Church to preach on in 2 weeks. And I can tell you, we're falling into the trap. We're getting a familiar spirit. We're getting so familiar with God, we don't get excited about God stuff anymore. We become lethargic. We become apathy. And God can come in here and move, and we won't even see it. So in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about having a familiar spirit in the church. Guys, don't fall into trap with this. We've got a God who is with you right now. And if that don't excite you, then you're already operating in a familiar spirit. And in a familiar spirit with God in his day, he could do no miracles in their lives. And you keep begging for a miracle, and God's doing them all around you, yet you won't jump up and give him praise. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's just keep on with the day. But we want to please God. And this scripture here says, God is well pleased with two things. Do good and share. It's almost like when you're going to drop your kid off at daycare for the first few times. Now listen to the fella, the girl. Do good today and share. What are you trying to do? Not let them embarrass you. You want the teacher to be impressed with them, that you've done a good job as a parent. Now, little Johnny, you do good and you share. Y'all remember Pastor Mike's little Johnny message from last week? Little Johnny has a dollar and a dime and a penny, and how much does Johnny have? And the little boy said, little Johnny's poor. Can I tell y'all my little Johnny story? You say yeah, because you're going to get it anyway. Not sidetracked. I'll pay attention now. Now, this is humor. Don't get offended. Little Johnny's grandfather is 88 years old. Little Johnny's grandfather's new girlfriend is 22 years old. How much money does Johnny's grandfather have? No, he rich. If he's 88 and she 22, little Johnny's grandfather is loaded. That's a joke. Hallelujah. Some of y'all just now getting it. Welcome to the service. But he says, do good and share, because this pleases the Lord. Now, if you look up the word do good, there are two definitions of the word do good, and they co-join, because you can't have one without the other. Do good means, first connotation of do good is serve. Everybody say serve. So now something pleases God, and he says it's the first thing. Don't forget to, you literally could say in the transliteration of it, serve and share. Serve. And you cannot serve without the second definition of the word do good, which means, oh, it's a horrible word. Are y'all ready? Work. Because anytime you serve, it requires you to put forth energy and work at it. If we're going to do the Frontiers Days, it's going to be work. That's why a lot of Christians won't go do that anymore, because I don't want to work at that. I'm tired. I work a regular job all week long, and I don't want to work for God there on the weekends or bless somebody else. Do good. Serve. If you ain't serving, you ain't following Christ, because Christ is not going to lead you not to serve. Any follower of Christ, Christ is always going to lead you to serve, and there's going to be work involved. Now let's move on real quickly. The second one is share. Everybody say share. The definition of sharing, check this out. The definition of the word share is sharing. Somebody say, that's good. Took me a long time to get that one. Sharing, it means lending, as in borrowing. It means compassion. It means partnership. And it means your fellowship in the gospel. So in other words, as you serve working, and if you can't serve and work, maybe you're the age, maybe you have limitations physically that you can't do that stuff, then you've got stuff to share. Well, I'm poor. I don't have nothing. We done discussed that. And it may not be a tangible thing, but you know what? You can share your faith in Jesus Christ. You can encourage someone with words. You can text someone and make their day, baby, tomorrow. Amen? The sharing is not all about money. The sharing may, maybe I have something and I can share, I can lend. I can't let you have it because I still need it in my functions. But if you need it, I can share it with you during this portion of your life as long as you bring it back, hopefully as good as you got it in. Amen? Some of you got, a shirt. Somebody might need a shirt. You could share one of your shirts. Oh, that ain't going to happen here. Well, go across the pond somewhere and I'll show you where you can leave your shirts and it'll make a difference. Amen? So it's not about, everything's not about money. It's about what are you doing with your life that is sharing and serving and the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone else? Because that's really what it's all about. Amen? All right. Are y'all okay? Now, often when I preach like this, people say, you want us to do everything. Yeah. I want you to do as much as God tells you to do, but I want to give you the opportunities to do it. Absolutely. Because, and if you've ever heard me preach on this here, you know where I stand, and so I'm going to reiterate where I stand. There's as much as it's possible as you could do. The Bible says, live at peace with all people as much as it depends on you. How many know you can't live at peace with all people? Because some people are just mad. They're going to stay mad. They're offended. They're going to stay offended. They're going to call themselves a Christian, but they're not going to walk in a Christian way of forgiveness and going to their brother and working it out for the glory of God. It's just not going to happen. But as much as I am, I can live at peace even with a person like that because I'm not going to allow them to bring that into my DNA. Amen? All right? So, right now we got involved at just at Journey Church. We have the upcoming festival. We need finances to make it work if you want to give to it. If we need a lot of people over there to show up to love on people, we're going to need some people to help set it up. We're going to need some people to stay after and close it down, or it don't happen. And some of you may can do it. Some of you may not can. And you know what? Hallelujah. We are doing the Christmas shoebox. We already have reached half our goal. We still like about another $1,500 to get it completed. Okay? But thank you. Not everybody's going to do a shoebox. And for those that do shoeboxes, we're like, how dare you not do a shoebox? Horrible. But it's not horrible. Some of you here have given very faithfully to the Guatemala Footprint, where we have a feeding program. We feed kids every morning, or they don't get no food in the morning. Several of you have donated that. Several of you haven't. That's okay. I know this is weird hearing me say that. Some of us last week give to put Bibles and now food into Africa and Tanzania and different places it might go. Some of us participated in that. Some didn't. And you know what? That's okay. Everybody say, he's weird. Some of us has done 21-day challenge where we've racked people at the drive-thrus and bought meals, and some of you have it, and you know what? It's okay. I missed one yesterday. Just totally crossed my mind. I get up, I've already paid, I'm fixing to pull off, and I'm like, I forgot to rack them. Yeah. But it's a two-drive system, and they'd already come through and paid, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll get it next time, Lord. But it's the first time in the 21 days I've failed. But I did bless other people during the day in other ways. Amen? Again, holding the door open for somebody, texting and encouraging people, doing something that serves. It's not just money, okay? Because some people can't do all money because you just can't right now because maybe you've got God's tithe. Anyway, not only have you been unfaithful with God's tithe, you've been unfaithful with the 90 he's told you to keep and be a good steward of. But anyway, you start making ground on that and being blessings. So, but what do you mean? Because here's a scripture that every fundraiser I know likes to use. God loves a cheerful giver, brother. And this is something good to give to, and it would bring cheer. And you, if it'll bring cheer to anyone, it ought to bring cheer to you. And so God loves you if you cheerfully give to it. So give. But it's out of context. And just as much as I'll preach tithing as a biblical mandate for Christians, I'm also going to preach you the truth about giving. And this is where a lot of pastors don't like for me to teach this. A lot of fundraisers do not like me to teach this, but I'm going to be faithful to where it says I preach you the whole counsel of the Word of God, not just part of it. And I did this with the Guatemala Footprint when we asked for people to give into that. And if you were here, you'll be able to know this. But I want to go real quickly. Does God love a cheerful giver? Absolutely. Is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. What makes it cheerful? I don't know. Happy? I don't know. Well, there's a reason he said cheerful giver. Because when you're giving out of something that touches your heart, it touches your heart, and that brings joy and cheer. Amen. Amen. So let's turn to the scriptures and let's back up what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. Now, to this point, whoever sows sparingly, which means don't hardly give anything, will also not get anything. Also, the Bible says, reap sparingly. But it also says, the opposite spectrum of that is, whoever sows bountiful, in other words, gives as much as they can of themselves, their time, their talent, their resources is what we call it here, you will also reap out of time, talents, and resources, including finances and time and blessings and things like that, okay? That's what we call the law of sowing and reaping. I mean, it works in everything. Not just money, not just time. How many know if you sow into your marriage? It just got real quiet. If you sow into your spouse what the Bible says sow into him or her, then that's what you're going to reap. And do you know how many couples are 90% of the time, and I know you ain't going to like what I'm going to say, you are reaping what you're sowing. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So, that's the principle of sowing and reaping. Now, this preludes the verse where it says, God loves a cheerful giver. So, he talks about sowing and reaping. But now, watch this. This is where fundraisers take the scripture and evangelists and people like that, even pastors. Each one must give as he, little h, not God, that means you or me, as he has decided in his, yours and mine, own heart. Not reluctantly, and also not under compulsion. Now we can have, for God loves a cheerful giver. What does that mean? Now let me make sure you understand the premise of this. This does not say tithe. The tithe is mandatory to the sons and daughters of God. It's not an option. You are commanded to give that. The offering you are commanded to give as you decide to give. This is where you get to choose whether you give a dollar, you give nothing, or you give $1 million to it. Somebody say amen to that. Do you realize if you have $1 million to give, what you've really got? Now, let each one give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly. In other words, don't hold back when God tells you to do it. In other words, if God says give this, you don't need to be reluctant. You need to have faith and give it. But the second part of that says, or under compulsion. In other words, nor are you to be pressured to give anything from another person. You give $1,000 and God will bless you. Now, if God tells you to give $1,000, you give. If God speaks to you and says, you give $10, you will get the same $1,000 blessing, quote, that the person that got conned did. Because you get to decide above the tithes and offerings by having a personal relationship with God, listening to the Holy Spirit, and just obeying. And there will be things that he tells you, don't give to that. I know it's weird. Don't give to that. Now let me just make a statement here. In your notes, no one can do everything. Nobody can give to every need that's out there. Do you know how many different needs there are? Feeding kids locally, feeding kids in Alabama, feeding kids across the United States, feeding kids across the pond, feeding kids southern of our border, feeding kids in Pakistan, it's under the risk. The sex slave market, the human trafficking here in America, here overseas, give to that. Give to the widows of Israel, give to Israel, give to China, give to persecution people, give to the martyrs of the gospel, give to China, the underground church, give to the poor here, give to the needy here, give to this right here ministry, trying to get a plane that can fly things over there. We need to, oh my goodness, hallelujah. There's a big work to be done. And nobody can do everything to every person. But everybody has the ability in some capacity to do something for the glory of God. If you can't go, maybe you can sow and send. We just sowed into Africa and it's already there. Last week, your sowing has already been planted in Africa. That fast. Technology is awesome. Amen. But let me go back to you again. Serving, giving is not a mathematical issue. It is a heart issue. It is a culture issue. See, you was raised either in a culture of giving or taking. Giving with an expectations of God's glory and glory to Him, or waiting and trying to say, everybody give to me. What can you do for me? What can you do for me? What can you do for me? I need this. You need to give me that. You got more than you need. Give me some. Come on. Are y'all okay? It's giving of myself. What can I do to give of myself today? Maybe I can't. Maybe the person comes up and says, I need this. I'm sorry, I can't. But let me pray for you. If we gave to every person who called our office every week, we would be gone. This building would not exist. You wouldn't exist. These chairs wouldn't be here. Nothing would be here. I get calls weekly sometimes, missionaries, with great things going on. And I have to discern what to do. And you have to learn to say no. Hey, guys, it's a great, I'll be praying for you, but right now there's just we're already doing what we can do in other places. But if God gives the opportunity, something will keep you in mind. And I feel for them because, man, they're trying to beat the bushes, trying to help people and do things. And some of them are cons and some of them are not. But it's amazing when I get the phone call, sometimes as soon as I'm talking to them on the phone, God will say and say, partner with them, help them, do something. I mean, it's an instant, you know it. And all the people we partner with right now are so faithful. We give money right now to a person in a ministry. They're heavily vetted right now in Venezuela. And I don't know if you know it right now, but Venezuela just get hit with a flood. And the homes have got water standing in them, and they don't have FEMA coming to rescue them. They don't have feeding programs. They're literally starving to death and floating down the roadsides. And this team is helping, and we give to that team. And I mean, we've been giving to them for years because they're faithful. And let me tell you something. They love me and they love Journey Church. And you want to know why? Because I said, I'm not giving to you because you asked. I'm giving to you because God put us together. And if God puts us together, I ought to be able to trust you. And you don't have to come here and give a report. Every time you come home, if I ain't going to trust you, I ain't going to give to you. Because a lot of churches will give them $10 a month. This is a true story. $10 a month, and every time you come home, you better make sure we want you to come in here and you spend all day with us. You better tell us where every dime we got going, and we want you to... And oh, they get so tired of that sometimes. And I tell them, you go take care of your maintenance churches. If I didn't trust you, I wouldn't be giving you money to begin with. Amen? And they're like, whatever. And they send reports of the money and stuff, and you know, and hallelujah, amen? Matter of fact, I could show you some of my texts I got just yesterday of the people being flooded out and the teams that are going in right now as we speak. It's awesome. Why don't you share that? Because I don't want to guilt you into giving. I could have got probably a good 30% more people giving to Guatemala if I'd have used the tactics that most people use. I'd have guilted you into giving. I'd have put the starving kids up there. I could have had them made a video when I was in Guatemala going, Journey Church, would you help me have breakfast every morning, please? I could have done that, ripped your little heartstrings out and go, oh my God, we're giving to that. And the Lord didn't tell you to give to it. And I don't want you to do something that you're pressured into. Amen? I know this don't make good preaching 90% in today's society, but how many know that that's what the Bible says? But when you do know it's God, and we present something here, hey, we're doing this, and we're raising money for kids' Christmas, that too, and that strikes in your heart, and you hear the Holy Spirit say, sow into that, you are excited about giving, and when you give, guess how you give? You give with a cheerful heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. You're not pressured in. You're not reluctant to give. It is like, yes, this is it for me, Lord. This is where you've touched my heart and anointed me to give to. I'm giving. I'm going to serve. I'm going to donate my time. I'm going to be there to set up. I'm going to hug kids, maybe distance kids, high five, whatever. And you're joyful, and you do it with a glad heart. And that's how you give of yourself to the Lord that makes a difference. But when you're in a culture that is so narcissistic, even inside the churches today, that you just want yours and nobody else is going to get any of your time, your talent, or your resources, do you realize there are Christians who have never helped another human being in their entire walk with God? And they call themselves a Christian. There are Christians who have been Christians professed for years who have never, ever once shared their faith with anyone else about Jesus Christ being their Savior. There are Christians who have been saved multiple years, supposedly, and they've never, ever offered to even pray with another person. And that's why we just got you 6 foot, because I just spit about 3 foot. I've seen it go myself. Hallelujah. Get under the spout where the glory comes out. You know it's good when the preacher be spitting on you. Hallelujah. I got to close this one and get out of here. We're about to run into overtime. There's a lot of people that profess they have Christ, but there's no evidence in their life that you can see them sharing this Christ they say they have. The scripture addresses this. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says this. And we're winding down. Don't get too excited. He says, suppose, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says that, oh, I got faith, but I don't have any works. But hey, I'm this Christian. Look here, I go to church on Sunday, guys. I'm a child of God. Woo! But I don't do anything. I just say it. Can that type of faith save anybody? The next verse says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed, just tattered, and especially in the wintertime, and they're poorly clothed and they lack daily food. And the next verse says, and you go to them and you say, hey guys, I'm a Christian. Go in peace. Be warm and be filled. Because I'm a Christian. I just spoke to you. Hey man, you go be warm and be full. I bless you with that. I just spoke to you about that, man. I know you ain't got clothes to go through the winter, and you got clothes to get you through the summer to work, but I pray you be clothed, and hallelujah. I know you ain't eating, but I got to go because the buffet starts in another 30 minutes, and I get a discount, so I got to be there. But you be filled. I got to go. See ya. Isn't that a wonderful representation of Christ? When he says to them, go in peace and be warm and be filled without giving them the things they need for their body, what good is that? Now, we're going to come back to that verse. And then this is the verse everybody likes to quote. So also, faith by itself, it does not have works. It is dead. So what that basically says, it's time for the church to shut up talking and start doing. That's the translation that I give it. Shut up and start doing. Don't talk about your Christianity, show your Christianity. The Bible says they'll know we are Christians because we tell them. No, it says they know we're Christians by our love. What does love do? Love always serves and works. Love gives of itself. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never fails. I'll give you the real definition I wrote down. That way it sounds a little nicer. Dead faith is a faith of just words without any action. So I wonder how many Christians today are walking around with dead faith. Oh, I can talk about it. I'll even post a little positive scripture. And don't get me wrong, that's better than nothing. But what are you doing to back that up? What's our tangible difference making? Now, I want to go back to that verse. If anyone says to you, put up the verse I said before, verse 16. And when he says to him, go in peace, be warm, be filled, without giving him the things he needs for the body. What good is that? Now what does it cover here? What are we supposed to give? There's two items that the Bible says we are to come in contact with, that we're supposed to do everything we can within our power to make sure they have. And it is what? Clothing, food. It does not say provide them for their cell phone. It does not say provide them for their habits. It does not say provide them for their unhealthy eating habits. We used to help people by sending them down to the grocery store and saying, hey, we're going to send you down there. You're going to X amount of groceries. Go get your groceries and be filled. So we talked to the grocery store owner. He said 90% of the people that come down here are getting junk food for the ball games. Tailgate type food. They're not getting food of substance. So now what we do, we have a box where you get stuff that's staples. You get rice, you get potatoes and beans. And doesn't say, go be filled at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. says feed them and clothe them. Doesn't, now listen to me now. Doesn't say pay their electric bill. Doesn't say pay their car payment or their insurance. Now, there are times that we, you know, if we see the case is real, we don't mind helping. Absolutely not. But you can't do everything for everybody. But food and clothes, if you've got it within your ability, you help that person every time. And can I give you a tip? And I hope y'all are wise enough to know this. When somebody comes up on the street and say, hey, man, I'm hungry. Can you give me some money to get something to eat? Don't give them money. Don't ever give them money. Now, I'm not saying all of them are like that, but a lot of them, they get the money and they're going to go buy a thing of cooking sherry and get drunk. I've seen it. Here's what we do. If the Lord prompts you, which he should prompt you because it's in the Bible, if you have time, if you've got money and stuff to do it, listen, man, I ain't giving you no money, but I'll take you in here and buy you a meal. Now, here's what you got to do, though. It's today's times. I have them go in. We're going to go in together, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to eat together. Because I have literally seen people buy a lunch, go out, and try to sell it to people to get money to go get their fix. So you go get them the Happy Meal or the Burger King or the Whopper or whatever, and they'll take that back. Hey, look, man, you give me a couple of dollars. I already got a back. I hadn't touched it. Still in the box. It's good to go. Here, take it. So you will eat with me, and guess what you're going to hear while you're eating with me? You're going to hear about Jesus. I'm going to ask you, man, how'd you get in the shape you're in? Do you know Jesus? Have you turned your life around? What are you looking to do? Hey, look here, I can get you in contact with so-and-so. We can get you to a place right now, get you some help. You ready to go? You'd be amazed how all of a sudden they're not so hungry. And I fulfill the law of God. Amen? Are y'all okay? Come on up here. I have one more scripture I have to close with you with. Why does God want us to do this stuff? There has to be a reason. He puts in there about serving the house of God, serving brothers and sisters in Christ, serving the lost, giving them your testimony, serve, work. What's in it? And I know this is a narcissistic society. What's in it for me? Well, God says do it. Number one, if you're a child of God, you ought to want to please God. You said you did a while ago. Are y'all okay? Look at the last scripture, the words of Jesus Christ himself, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Now, Jesus said, let your light shine. Everybody say, my light. That means you got a light. Amen? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, hallelujah, and glorify the Father in heaven. Don't get excited right there. Now, I want to point something out. This Jesus says, don't show them my good works. Show them your good works. Now, we're doing it in and to and through the power of Jesus' name, amen? But they can't see Jesus. I said they can't see Jesus. The only thing they can see on earth is you and me. And when me and you represent Jesus, right, they're going to see that it was you, me, us. We did that to them, but we did it to them in such a way that we are lined up so much with the anointing of God that when they see us do it, they're going to turn and glorify the Father and not us. Hallelujah. The reason a lot of people don't like this scripture is because they want the glory of the Father. We talked about this the first week, but I'm going to do it again. Somebody give me a phone real quick. I know we're in overtime. Somebody give me a phone. Give me a phone. Give me a phone. Give me a phone. You ain't got to turn it on. That's all right. Let's say I'm going to help Brother Bill. Look here. I'm handing you a sack of food because you're poor and you're just hungry. Hold on. Now, let me make sure I get this right. Giving a man a pack of food. Check me out. Post helping, being the hands of Jesus. And I called you this the first week, and I'll call this you again. You glory hog. That glory belongs to the Lord. Now, there are times that you need to encourage people with stuff. I'm not saying it all the time, but you have some people, I don't care what they're doing. Me, click. Who's the glory for? Let your light shine before men, and let your good works be known, that they may turn and glorify Father for what you're doing in his name. And that ought to be your goal for every day you get up with your walk with Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Every day that we get up, we ought to say, I get to do your work for you to get the glory today, God. But somehow, because we've gotten so familiar with God and so familiar with religion and so familiar with churchy stuff, that we don't even think about it anymore. And if we do, it's like, what's in it for me? What's in it for me now? Stand to our feet. Next week, I'll be preaching on the side effects of COVID-19. The side effects of COVID-19. The week after that, the church has fallen into the trap of the familiar religious spirit. Two mandated messages that I have to preach. I have to preach them. Because it's in a season that this word has to get out to break the curse. But I'm telling you, you want to break curses? You start being giving a person that gives of yourself. Amen? You be that person that falls under the anointing of God. So this morning, right where you're at, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I don't care if you're here, whether you're watching or wherever you're at, the greatest thing God first and foremost wants you to give of yourself is yourself to Him. Because you cannot save yourself, you cannot redeem yourself, you cannot forgive yourself until you get forgiveness of the Father. Then you have the power to even forgive yourself. But you cannot save yourself today. You need a Savior who's already paid the price for you to be saved and you to be forgiven. And all you got to do is accept Him. He's already given of Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if that's you today, without any religion attached to it, without any church membership, we're not asking you to join a church, we're not asking you to get religion today, we're asking you, do you want to become a son and daughter and give your life and surrender it to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if that's you, without any shame or any doubt, we're not going to ask you to do anything weird, just raise your hand right where you're at. We just want to bless you and raise your hand. Amen? Anybody? Anyone? We got to give of ourselves a little more to get some lost people in here, don't you think? Amen? And I'm not trying to say this being bad or nothing, but when churches fail to have salvations on a regular basis, it's a church that doesn't know how to give of themselves. That's not in my notes. A church that is not experiencing the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it don't have to be every Sunday, it should be, but on a fairly regular basis, is a church that is self-absorbed into itself and not giving of itself outside these walls. Because if we really believe what we say we have, we'd want to give it away. I'm not trying to come down hard to guys, but we've got to wake back up. So if you're here this morning and you say, man, I've complained about what I don't have and what I don't have, and I've been so focused on what I don't have, I have lost sight of what I do have. I've lost sight of what's in my life personally. I've lost sight of friendships. I've lost sight of my marriage. I've lost sight of my relationship with my parents, with my kids. I've lost sight of what it means to serve the church and God's glory. I've lost my connection with serving and giving of myself to bless others. And I've fallen into the trap of narcissistic mindsets, selfishness, and complaining. And I'm ready for that to shift in my life. And I want to be more like Jesus every day. And I want to finish this 21-day challenge strong. I want to finish doing random acts of kindness every single day this week, multiple times as you put in front of me, God. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for hands. But Lord, I'm asking for hands, but they're attached to hearts. And again, giving is a heart issue. It's not a money issue. It's not a tangible issue. It is a heart issue. So Father, I thank you that you've given me a clean heart. I thank you, Lord, I operate from a heart of giving. Even though sometimes maybe I want to fall into that selfish mode, I thank you that I am a giver. And I speak it forth. Come on, say that with me. Even if you've got a prophesied, even if you haven't arrived, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, I am created a giver. I have things to give. Come on, say that. Come on, say, Jesus, thank you. I have things to give. I have things to offer your kingdom. Lord, come on, Lord. I am a giver in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him some praise up in this house.